Welcome to this week's edition of Calcio FC, the podcast with my friends Emmett Gates and Dan Cantian. Joining me here in London, we're going to deep dive into why Serie B is so competitive. Why is it so good? We know Serie A is brilliant, but as a league, Dan, you're up first. Tell me what you love about Serie B or why you think it's competitive.
Well, what I love about Serie B is the jeopardy. I think that's what we all watch football for as neutrals. You know, you don't know what to expect. That's why I love watching the Championship and League One over here. As to why Serie B is so competitive, well, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it? I think the first thing to say about it is that it's an incredibly tough league to get out of.
So tough.
Yeah, it's a very easy league to fall into, but it's a near impossible hard league to get out of. And then I think you need to factor in the fact that you have big clubs who have fallen on hard times, the likes of Sampdoria, for example. We've had the likes of Torino, Serie B, we've had the likes of Bari,
Genoa,
Napoli, Genoa,
Cagliari, yeah.
Cagliari, Parma, you know, absolute Serie A royalties who fell through a trapdoor. And then you've got a group of sort of contenders who come from like perhaps not traditional football heartlands, as the likes of, you know, thinking of Catanzaro, for example, Spezia, Cesena, you know.
And they've been there in the past.
They started the clubs in their own right, but they're not what you would expect. You know, they're not the culture of superpowers that we're all used to. But the influx of new money, a lot of these clubs have been taken over by American businessmen or by foreign companies. You've got sort of this leveling up. You've got the sort of, as it were, the old powers falling out of times and these new upstarts coming through. And that's generated a very good mixture where anybody can be anybody. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. The Serie B is what the NFL likes to market itself as, you know, any given Sunday.
Anyone could be anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
And we've seen it this season as well. But one thing that I can say is Serie B's always been tough. It's not a new phenomenon. We can go back when Serie A, it was even in its pomp, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s and beyond. It was so tough to get out of Serie B into Serie A. And some of the clubs, like, there is a Serie B royalty out there. There is. You know, there are clubs that are traditionally there and always hovering around trying to get up to Serie A.
Yeah.
Emmett, what do you love about it?
I think it's, as Dan said, for me, it's the unpredictability of Serie B. Again, as Dan said, the NFL likes to market itself as any given Sunday. If you were a betting man trying to bet on Serie B games, you would pull your hair out because it's just, take this season, for example, aside from Sassuolo, there has been no real team that's been utterly consistent from start to finish. You get sides that maybe go on a two or three game winning spree, and then they'll draw the loss, and then they'll have another win, maybe another couple of wins, and then it's the cycle.
And as easy as they get a winning streak, they can have a losing streak.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, we've seen teams, you know, ascend and then also descend. You know, I'm thinking off the top of my head, Frosinone went through a bad patch and they find themselves hovering above the relegation zone. They've obviously climbed out of that now. But for me, it's the unpredictability of it. And it's also the fact that you do see up-and-coming superstars with kind of old stagers that were kind of, you know, in Serie A 10, 12 years ago, and they're just in that mid-30s, late-30s, and they're still in Serie B, you know, playing well. I'm thinking of Gianluca Lapadula, for example, for Spezia, just comes to mind. So it's, you have a mix of, you know, hidden gems and players on the way down or just enjoying themselves. You know, the best of their career is over and they're just enjoying playing football.
Or players that want a new start. We saw what happened with Cutrone and Como last season and the year before. Yeah. So there are players that Buffon, you know, he's an example of someone that's older that wants to finish off on a positive note, maybe go back to the team that helped him get his start in football, and they go back. And I think one season that was Fabregas, Buffon, you know, Como, Parma, and you see them shaking hands. That stuff for me is absolutely brilliant to see in lower division football.
You can also apply that to the managers as well, because you have a group of managers now, as it was the case 10 years ago, 20 years ago, that are phenomenal in Serie B. They're great at taking a team up.
Yeah.
But then they can't quite sort of like take the extra step and keep a team up or, you know, going on to achieve bigger and better things. And you see that, you know, with the likes, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you've got the likes of Chris Wilder at Sheffield United, for example. So those managers, they're really good at taking a team up. Alan Kirby's another one. but they're not that good at like keeping a team open like in the top flight. And Serie B is littered with examples like this. I can think of, you know, you can think of Gigi Cagni back at Piacenza, for example. You can think of Cesare Cosmi to an extent. You can think of Giancarlo Camolese at Torino. You can think of even Emiliano Mondonico himself. You know, he made his name at Atalanta by taking them up, did the same thing with Torino. And it goes back to what we were saying earlier. It's such a hard league to get out of. To take a team up, you need to be an incredibly good manager. You need to be good at managing your players. You need to be good at sort of assigning players normally on a tight budget. That's another thing that we should probably mention.
Well, there's financial stability that's needed, because sometimes clubs just disappear.
They do.
Because they don't have a proper structure.
You were talking about Serie B royalty. You look at the Serie B royalty from, say, late 90s or mid 90s. Some of those teams have disappeared. The likes of, you know, Regina were always there or thereabouts.
Yeah.
Perugia.
Piacenza.
Vicenza. Lucchese. Padova. Yeah. I mean, Padova are back now, of course, but it just shows that...
Ancona as well.
Yeah, Catania also.
Yeah. You have a window when you can go up, and if you miss that window, things can go south really, really quickly.
Yeah, it could be 15 years in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Well, I think, look, Serie B, to me, you can't have a strong Serie A without a strong Serie B. And a lot of the other leagues, like I look at La Liga, and yes, of course, they've got the two massive teams there. But when you have a look at the bottom of La Liga and then you go into La Liga Dos, you will see that they don't have the strength. They don't have the tradition of those sides. If I look at La Liga 2 here, you're going to see teams like Burgos. We're talking Castellón. We're talking Eldense. We're talking, you know, teams that no one really knows. I'm sure, you know, no disrespect to the fans of those clubs and those clubs themselves, because every club deserves what they get on their merit, and you make your own luck, and they're in La Liga too, and they could end up in La Liga one day and prove me wrong. But when you look at the strength of Serie B, that you can, like Luton coming down from Premier League, although Luton aren't traditionally a Premier League side, Salernitana, Frosinone are both at the bottom end of Serie B this season. Sampdoria struggling. It just shows you, with Sassuolo as a properly structured club, it's not just about money at the top. It is about having professionals that go in and they can build the foundations of these clubs. Serie B has that tradition from its former decades, and you can see the Catanias that aspiring to get back, the Padovas and that. But the teams in Serie B for the last 2-3 years, you know, we're talking about Bari that, you know, have the heritage, the legacy of David Platt. And other, like Sampdoria, you can't get bigger than that. Genoa were there 2 years ago.
Yeah, you look at the attendances, you know, you look at like Sampdoria to get 20,000 this season. Bari the same, they play in a stadium that has what, a capacity of 55,000-60,000.
But
I think it's also important to note that while Serie B is very difficult to get out of, then there's still a big gap with Serie A, because over the past 10 years, at least one newly promoted team to Serie A is going straight.
They back can't compete financially.
It's going straight back down to Serie B.
Case in point is Catanzaro, probably in the playoffs this season, they've spent €170,000.
In the windows.
Like that spend compared to the kind of spend they would have to go on to survive in Serie A.
Need a lot of sponsors. Maybe the shirt would be littered with them. As you've seen Serie B clubs, and you can see like Bari at the moment have a match day sponsor on their shirt. So we've seen Casillo on their shirts all season. But then looking in the last 3-4 weeks, I'm not sure what's happened with the sponsors, but they're not getting much money out of these sponsors, I don't think. And then all of a sudden they've got a different brand there, you know, basically, you know, Bob's Mechanic down the road kind of level. So they're really scrounging around for money, and it is I don't want to say a league of poverty, but compared to Serie A, it is,
because when you think about it, the clubs who go down to Serie B receive parachute payments, and the parachute payments amount to roughly 40% of the turnover of a Serie B club. And even then, that's not enough to make up the shortfall.
Yeah, because they send money down to Serie C as well. And then the Italian national team.
It's the way the system works in Italy is different to the way it works in England, where the parachute payments are directly linked to the TV revenue. But, you know...
Do you think that creates a flat line across Serie B to make it more competitive?
Well, it does and it doesn't, because you basically have teams split into three different tiers. Depending on how long they've been in Serie A, they receive different amounts of money when they go down.
2 years or 3 years, that kind of thing,
But then... what you get is the parachute payments help them coming back up, because I think over the last 10 years, if you look at the 30 teams that have gone down, minus, Livorno, who...
Livorno and Parma.
Livorno and Parma, they went bust. Of those 28 teams, a quarter of them came straight back up the first time of asking. So the parachute payments do make a difference. But then you're in the territory of, do they make a difference in terms of allowing players to sign players, or sorry, allowing clubs to sign players, or do they make a difference insofar as clubs can plan on a longer term because not that they have a financial, sort of some kind of financial stability? So it's very difficult.
It's a juggling act of trying to keep their heads above water.
You've got to spin lots of plates, you can't just go down and think, oh, I'm going to retain the players we had in Serie A, I'm going to come straight back up.
Yeah, look at Cittadella as a case. They basically look for Serie C all-stars from the season before and they boost their side, because anyone that's performed well this season from Cittadella is going to move on to, no offense, but a bigger club. No offense, Jake and Chitta Cultural USA, who's a supporter of DC. But there are these very small clubs in Serie B as well that are from small towns and they've been punching above. Cittadella has been there for 10 years.
Yeah.
So... whether they're planning for life in Serie A, they nearly made it. They lost a playoff final to Venezia and it was only a last minute situation. Cittadella would have been in Serie A. So there is the rags to riches kind of.
There is, and which is what makes the league so unpredictable, because you have the likes of Sassuolo, who spent £12 million this season, that Pisa have spent north of 10, Palermo have spent more in January by signing Poggio Paolo from Venezia than I will say maybe half of the clubs who spend all season. And even then, it's not guaranteed that you're going to get out of Serie B anyway. I do think that going forward, Serie A should find a better way of sort of...
Delivering the money,
because it's this all sort of trickle-down economics where the money goes down from Serie A to Serie B and onto Serie C. There is a key fallacy in there, in the fact that if the same teams keep coming back up, then the parachute payments are... not leveling out.
It's
they are
locked
actually
in.
Widening the gap between the teams that receive and the teams that do not.
Yeah, yeah, it's true. And there are some other clubs in there that you could say probably should be in Serie A. And maybe we've spoken about Sampdoria a lot this season, but Samp spent a fair bit of money this in the summer window especially.
Yeah.
And they've boosted again with probably a dozen newbies in January. They went and got Tutino, went and got Max Coda, and that is the case in point that you can go and get the best players in the league, but because it's so competitive that probably three unlucky things happened to Samp this season, but an injury to Tutino, and then they've tried to bring in other Serie A players, Udan, for example, from Lecce. They went and got Bari's best player, Sibili, and brought him over, and it really hasn't changed the course.
Yeah, they got Niangan as well. Yeah.
Because you can kind of infect your club from being a little bit... I would say too reactive, the way that they got rid of their coaches, for example. And that could be a factor that plays in the luck and the misfortune of your club if you want to go up to Serie A. We're all expecting Sampdoria to go back up. They've been there for 2 years, possibly a club that's teetering on the edge of third division for the first time in their history. And that is because there are so many competitive clubs in this league. No one expected Juve Stabia and the likes of Catanzaro, Cesena and Modena to be competing for the playoffs up from Serie C. And they're already having a sniff.
Well, you just mentioned that Juve Stabia and Catanzaro. Cosenza spent more money in the last two windows and they're rock bottom. And Catanzaro and Juve Stabia could be in Serie A next year.
No, so it doesn't depend just on the money.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Going back
Cittadella,
to the point I made,
another case there.
I made about the money. Like Cesena and Juve Stabia have only just come up from Serie C this season, and now they're on course for, if they get to the playoff, they could potentially be promoted for the second season on the bounce. And I think that speaks to the fact that there is room for innovation in Serie B.
Yeah, it's all about ideas and tactics getting the right players in. It's not necessarily about throwing money around.
It's very much a copycat league in certain aspects, insofar that you always have the same, and not just the season, but even the season goes by, you always have the same merry band of veterans who go from one club to another, bang goals in for the club, then they move on to another club, and they do the same thing in a bit of like bring them up. But then you have the likes of Paluca, Juve Stabia, who has been, he's stuck to his principles throughout the season, and they came out of the blocks flying, then they went through a difficult patch and everyone thought, oh, here we go. You know, they've been exposed for a team that is playing at a level that probably, perhaps they should, you know, is a level, is a step too far for them. But they stuck to their principles, you know, and that's paid off for them. The same with Chazen. Chazen have been had a bit of a roller coaster of a season, but again, they're pushing for a second promotion. I think with Serie B is it's almost better to not have any expectation on.
Just try and avoid the drop. And there are coaches out there that are specifically bought in to, it's not panic stations at this club, but it's like, we just don't want to go back to Serie C because Serie C is another pit of quicksand that you cannot get out of for a lot of clubs. And we saw what Palermo, Bari coming up, lots of clubs that go down to Serie C is just as tough, if not tougher.
Yeah.
You have to win that league.
Yeah.
To go up to Serie A, you just have to finish in the top two, then maybe win the playoffs. And I think there are coaches out there that are suited to different projects.
Yeah.
And for example, the way that Como changed over from Moreno Longo to Fabregas, it felt like Longo was maybe happy to get draws and just sort of keep his head above
water. We've seen that at Bari this season.
Bari are doing it.
500 draws.
And he's there, So they should be aspiring. They bring in big players like Kevin Lasagna, played for Italy. I'm not saying he's in peak of his form, but he's very, very good on the ball. He's tactically astute. He's played at the top levels. And bringing players like him in doesn't guarantee you goals.
No. The thing is, well, you see with Palermo as well, you know, Diniz has been under so much pressure because when the money is there, the name of the club is there, and you know, the stadium, so the fan base is there, you're expected to challenge, if not for automatic promotion, at least for Serie A. And when then the results start, they don't go your way, then the pressure only increases. And
you can't manage the fans' expectations.
No, you can't. And that's why I think Inzaghi and Gross have been brilliant at this season. Gross in particular, Sassuolo were favourites. One thing is being favourite, one thing is actually delivering and being favourite.
But also seeing the Sassuolo project,
the
fresh down from Serie A, it's not the same as Salernitana that came down with them, and also Frosinone, because those clubs seem a little bit less organised. Sassuolo is a club that was up in Serie A for 10 years. They were a club that they beat Inter and they beat Juventus the year that they got relegated. And you could see the potential there. It was more Berardi getting injured
that
triggered their fall. And then it was a run of poor losses in Serie A and they ended up in Serie B. They're going back up though. And that's because of the structure they've got. They've got a coach with a plan, a project, a team around them. Even Sassuolo's staff, you can see that they're picked, they're handpicked from the right clubs. There are people there that were working for Napoli, you know, in the last couple of years, and they've got, you know what, we're going to go and work for Sassuolo now because they see the project, they're convinced of it.
Well, Fabio Grasso had the opportunity to either go to Palermo or Sassuolo last summer, and he rejected. And obviously, he's a former Palermo player, but he rejected it for Sassuolo because obviously he believed the project was better.
Yeah, from a coaching perspective.
Yeah, and at the same time, you know, you would think, well, Salernitana must be thinking now, you know, the Inzaghi was sacked in February and he's taken Pisa up.
Yeah.
At the first time of asking, and he's done a fantastic job. I think the Pisa, I know that they spent big, I know that there is big investment behind them, but I think you could argue they are ahead of the curve because...
But you have to invest. If you want to go to Serie A, you have to.
But what I'm saying is, like, it's all well and good to have a project, but I think that Inzaghi's delivered on it perhaps earlier than anybody expected because Pisa finished 14th, I think, last season. They had a negative goal difference and they've had the odd blip this season, but apart from Sassuolo, they've been a runaway train in Serie B this season.
Yeah.
I mean, the litmus test would be next season in Serie A because a lot would be expected of Inzaghi. Inzaghi does not have the best
platform.
Track record in Serie A.
He's one of them coaches that David mentioned earlier.
No, exactly,
Pippo has been good to a level.
Yeah.
And that level has generally been getting in this area, but not necessarily.
Although, I do think that I do think that he's got he's learned a lot. I think you could see the season. I think that he's changed a lot. I think in fact his biggest change this season was not changing couple of weeks when things weren't going his way, he stuck to it. And I think, you know, I think hopefully there was 7-1 in Serie A. I think the PSG are a brilliant reality, and you know, and I think the Tuscany, as we discussed before, needs team
more
Serie A.
But you look at Sassuolo going up. Is there a reason, you know, behind their success? It's not just the project. They weren't dragged into the overall competitiveness. They weren't dragged into the overall competitiveness of Serie B, unlike Sampdoria. Why do you think that was?
Because they have deep pockets, to be brutally honest, because they're owned by the Squinzi family, which is one of the richest family in Italy.
Sure, but if you look at Sampdoria's squad, that was set up for success. If you look at it on paper.
I think Sampdoria's squad was set up for short-term success. It was a case of we can't afford to be in Serie B financially.
And we're just hoping to get back up
now. We need to roll the dice and we need to get back up now. Because when you look at the team is a mishmash of players who have been there and done it, like lots of Cole and Tutino, but some of them are like in the winter of their career. Sassuolo is sort of like, I always got the feeling that the moment when they went down, they were like, well, this is an anomaly. We don't belong in Serie B, we belong in Serie A.
They always knew they were going back up. Yeah, exactly.
They were a Serie A club that just happened to find themselves in Serie B after a bad run.
I mean, you can debate whether historically they are a Serie A club or not, but it's a discussion for another podcast. But the minute they went down, it was a case of certain things went wrong. As you said, Berardi got injured, a couple of losses last season, but they were like, there is a plan and players and they can play and we can come back up.
They convinced their players to stay at Lloriente, for example.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
Because he was linked with some big moves, including Napoli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also even Berardi himself, he could have left in January, but he decided to stay. He'd only just returned from injury, but he said, right, going to get Sassuolo up.
And a loyal club, man. We love to see that.
And getting Grosso in as well. You know, you need,
a statement.
Which is the cause and which is the fact, you know, do you get the players to stay because Grosso's coming in, or do you get Grosso to come in because the players are staying? Either way, I think having deep pockets helps, because some of these players could have got higher wages elsewhere.
Oh, they could have, yeah.
Yeah.
But look, I think they're on a good wicket in Sassuolo. They're going to be back up in Serie A. We've got a few of our articles on destinationcalcio.com. Of course, there is the Serie B parachute payments article from Dan. There's also the wonderful world of the Serie B playoffs. Should we go into the structure of the playoffs the play out and the relegation? Because it is a little bit weird for people to grasp. They're like, how does this all work? How does it all work? The Serie B playoffs. Let's get into it. We'll start with the playoffs.
Yeah.
First and second, we don't need to worry about them because they're automatically promoted. Now we have a situation where another team needs to go up.
It's basically like the Football League North. Same thing. There is a preliminary round, which is a single tie.
But only happens if there's a gap between second and third.
Yeah.
Because we'll use Sassuolo and Pisa for this. We'll say Spezia, because they were always in the hunt for the second spot. Sassuolo automatically promoted. Then it was Pisa automatically promoted. Spezia, if they had a 14-point gap over fourth, Cremonese, they'd also be automatically promoted. But that's not the case. It's about 8 points. So we have a playoff round, which is great for viewers at home, because you're going to watch that on Destination Cultural TV. So third and fourth, they sit out the first round.
Yeah.
Dan, take us through.
So the third and fourth team have a bye to the semifinals. Fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth face each other. So fifth place, eighth, it's a single elimination tie, which means that the team that finishes fifth plays at home, 90 minutes. If the scores are level after 90 minutes, the team that has finished fifth goes through.
Yeah, the high-ranked team
goes through.
Same with 6th and 7th.
Same with 6th and 7th. And then you get the semifinals, which is a more traditional two-leg format. We know no away goal rules, of course. So the team that's finished highest plays the first leg away first, and then they play the second leg at home.
The advantage with the home fans.
Exactly. And again, if the scores are level on aggregate, the team that's finished highest goes through. And then the final is, again, a two-leg affair. In home and away.
And we'll say in this case, we'll pretend it's Spezia and Cremonese.
Yeah.
Could very well be. Spezia in third would have the home final in the second leg.
Yeah.
And the relegation at the other end. The bottom three teams are automatically relegated, but four teams have to go down to Serie C, four. And what happens, we either have a play out with 16th and 17th playing out a home and away leg, or if there's four or more points between 16th and 17th, then 17th is gone. And that is the brutality of it.
Yeah.
You can end up just down there. You won't have a playout opportunity. And we've seen that in previous seasons. So that is how the playout works, the relegation works, and also the playoffs and how you get promoted up to Serie A, how you go down to Serie C. So Serie B, that gateway. But again, you can't have a strong Serie A without a strong Serie B. And so we need to have those ladders of football. So if you want to see a strong Serie A and a strong national team as well for the Azzurri, you really need to get behind your teams. If you, you know, go and get that scarf that you thought about for, you know, Albino Lefe or whoever it is. I know that you've got one at home, pal. But yeah, Sampdoria fans, you know, you need to stick by your team. We've seen the brilliant support for them in Serie B and so many other sides there. We haven't even mentioned, you know, the likes of Canarese, who's another story to come up for the first time in, what, 74 years from Serie C to Serie B. And they've been able to stick their noses above and survive.
And they've survived comfortably as well. Yeah. It's not like they're hanging on.
I think that we should also mention the fact that the league is so competitive also leads to the fact that every team has something to play for until the very end of the season, which is why there are no gimmies. You know, if you need 3 points to stay up, you can't just expect to play whoever you're playing that weekend and think, you know, they're safe.
Yeah, there is no safety.
Yeah, because...
You're never safe.
Up until last week, you know, you had teams who were a point away from the playoffs, and yet just three points over the relegation zone. So you always have something to play for.
Yeah.
That adds to the overall competitiveness of it, because no one, it's just so unpredictable. And even the players say that themselves. That you could say, I'm going to join the Sampdoria project this season and end up where Samp have.
Yeah.
Or you could say, oh, you know what? Torre Grossa, former Samp striker, he's off at Canarese and he's helped them stay up.
Yeah.
And this is where players get to choose what project they want to be a part of. And we've seen so many young starlets come through and so many of, you know, the former cream of the crop. Lapadula played at Milan for a couple of seasons. We saw Cutrone there as well. We've seen the likes of Lasagna. And we're talking, was Cutrone, I think he was called up to the Italy squad at one point before he went to Wolverhampton, maybe?
Yeah, he was in and around it.
So... You know, Lasagna as well. We've got Italian internationals there. Loads of players get called up for AFCON. They get called up for, you know, the Euros. Yeah. I've seen Nagy at Pisa and now at Spezia. Loads of players getting picked up.
Yeah, you've got lots of like under 21 internationals as well. At Pisa, you know, Lind, for example.
Pio Esposito at Spezia.
Esposito, the
Esposito brothers overall and even their older... You know, the older one was linked with it with a couple of big moves. And you will see players that come and go from Serie A in there as well, because people always say, well, you know, Palermo wouldn't go up if they didn't go and sign Poyampolo. And it's like, yeah, of course. But there are players that are teetering between the two levels, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to get a player leaving a top eight club in Serie A to go and play in Serie B.
Yeah, especially in their mid-20s, unless they needed a fresh start.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are plenty of platforms for that.
Yeah, and now we're going to get Avellino and Padova back in Serie B next season. Two big names from the 80s.
Yeah.
Brings a bit of nostalgia factor back. I think it's going to be great, actually, seeing Padova, because Padova have been knocking on the door of Serie B for a long time. You know, we said earlier at the top of the segment that it's incredibly hard to get out of Serie B. I think the Serie C is probably the only league where it's even harder to get out of than Serie B.
Because there's so few spots available.
It's the top, very top of each three.
Yeah, and then there's... 28 teams in the mammoth playoffs.
Yeah, which Canarese won last year to come up.
I mean, the playoffs in Serie C had a season
in and of themselves.
There are other clubs there that a lot of neutral fans and newcomers to Serie B wouldn't even know of. Your Mantovas, for example.
Yeah.
Aside from Canarese, who has that, if you're not from an Italian background, you think, what is this? Like Canarese, who are they? But they do have their own legacy as well. Not a big one, but they're creating their new one, and that's another story about Serie B. You can come up and like Sassuolo did, because they're a relatively new club in terms of, and we look at 100-year-old clubs, 120-year-old clubs like Genoa, then we've got Cittadella, which is 51, 52 years of age now.
But also you look at the fact that so many clubs have gone through financial turmoil, they might have already gone bust, and now they're back in Serie B. Okay.
Brescia.
Yeah, it's not like being in Serie A, of course, but it's already a massive, massive achievement for them. Lies of Bari, they've been teetering on the brink of financial disaster for a decade. Brescia, you said, Modena again, you know, Torino in the past. Napoli, of course, and Fiorentina are probably the two best examples of, you know, clubs that have gone bust and, you know, raising again from the ashes.
Yeah, Genoa as well.
Yeah,
Juventus in Serie B this millennium.
But joining us, AC Milan,
Milan in the 80s.
Yeah, Milan in the 80s. No one would have ever thought that, like...
Well, it was only Berlusconi and Sacchi that got Milan to where they are now. Yeah. It was them at the genesis of this new Milan.
They were
Milan
relegated for, you know...
Totonero.
For a Totonero scandal. And then
being
just
rubbish.
For being rubbish.
Even Spezia, like, that story there to come up to Serie A with the American ownership there.
Yeah.
The Platek and now the Aussies are there.
He's actually sold. Yeah. The Aussies have sold now.
Have they already?
Yeah. There's another American. Yeah.
That was a quick turnaround.
two months.
eBay special.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear they wanted to get out around a month ago. But that's a thing. Like, there are jugglers out there. There are people that want to speculate. I guess the price of a Serie B club compared to Serie A as well, you can go in.
Yeah.
Get yourself a bargain if you've got a few spare mil.
I think us three could afford a Serie B club at this point.
We could probably pool something together.
Yeah, Cittadella maybe.
Well, again, Jake, we don't mean to offend. Jake, if you want to come in.
Yeah, if you're a fourth partner, you're more than welcome.
Yeah, so Reggiana, another one there, because they were Serie A.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the mid-90s.
Yeah, Paolo Futre, Taffarel.
Yeah.
Pisa.
Sonde Olisi.
Yeah.
Simeone. Yeah, some big ones.
Sorry, just before we wrap up, I think that's a really good point. I think the thing that I really like about Serie B is that it's not so structured, you know, there is no this in sort of, you Serie B, you get some teams to do it, but not every team thinks that they need to pass it out from the back because Pep Guardiola does it.
Oh, yeah, I love those goal kicks from the actual goalkeeper.
It's a bit of a throwback. There's a bit of, you know, sort of like you don't feel like you're watching the same game, like a carbon copy of the same game.
It's not as structured.
Yeah.
It's not about positional play. It's not about Pep's tactics and everyone trying to repeat
them. They
still
chuck it in the mixer.
Yeah.
There's
a lot of variety. Yeah. A lot of
dive in.
Old school.
Bit of Roy Keane on Haaland there in the 90s. So that's what we love to see. We love to see a bit of actual grassroots football. And just before we go, guys, I'm going to spring something on you. Scenario time. If you're Monza, Emmett, and you're coming down to Serie B now, how do you go about getting back up to Serie A? What path do you take? What, I don't want to say tactics, but what do you try and get back up straight away?
Yeah, I think if you look up Monza's squad, they're more than good enough to get
chances
back up in the Serie A.
Of keeping them?
Yeah, I mean, that's the issue. I think...
Can they do a Sassuolo?
I think they could. I think if they get the right coaching... First of all, if I was Adriano Galliani, Mr. Yellow Tie, I would look about getting a very good coach to get back out of Serie B. And then the second intention would be to keep as much of the nucleus of the squad as possible, because I think Monza have a lot of talent that could easily see them go back up at the first goal. But the coach is the most important thing.
Wouldn't keep Nesta? He got them there.
I mean, I think for me, Nesta is a bit like Pippo in that sense, is that he's good for upper Serie B, maybe not so much for bottom of Serie A.
And also good for winning a World Cup in 2006. Dan, let's throw to you. Avellino, coming up from Serie C, what is their best path to stay up?
Well, the key is to make sure that they're not taken over by someone who owns another club, because that means they can't go up to Serie A. You know, Bari fans can speak to that. I think pretty much what Emma suggested, actually, because I think Cesena and Juventus this season have shown that, like, if you keep your nucleus together of a team that's won promotion from Serie C, the players can be good enough to at least mount a top eight challenge for the playoffs.
Expectations to actually go up, though, in the first year,
not expectations, but at the same time, there is no need to put, like, limits on what can be achieved, because, again, the league is so competitive, then, you know, just sticking to your principles at times can be enough to be clear of relegation. And you know what? If you can be clear of relegation in your first season in Serie B, then you can consolidate from there. At the other end, I would say that what we've seen, which is in Juventus, shows that you've got to strike the proverbial iron while it's hot, because there is no guarantee that if you come 10th this season, you're going to be in the playoff next season. That's just not how football works. You know, it's not a case. It's a gradual... It can be a ladder, it can be a gradual improvement, but there is no guarantee that it actually is going to be. So if you have a chance of going for promotion or going for the playoffs, then just seize it. And I think that Avellino will do that next season, you know, with this old smart signing. They are a relatively big club to come to Serie B. I think they're going to be able to attract a lot of players.
Sure. And what's a club that's been stuck in Serie B for a while? I know that Pisa is one of those clubs, and I would like to say, what would I do if I was the owner of Pisa? But they're actually gone up, and they've done it brilliantly.
Bari have been stuck in Serie B for a while.
Brescia.
They've been there for 4 or 5 years. Yeah. Brescia have been up and down, though.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll take the Cittadella tag here. what would I do? They nearly made it to Serie A. And I think the way that they've done it, if we look at a club that's been stuck there, they're the longest serving club in Serie B, 10 years. And yes, they're always sort of around the bottom half of the table. But how they tried to get up in about 2020, they just built the nucleus of the club. And it's not about glitz and glamour. It's about trying to get players that want to prove themselves and want to play at a very high level. You need those kind of players. You also need a coach that wants to stay there with longevity, and that's what they had. They had, I think they had a longer serving coach as well, 6 or 7 seasons.
They never sacked a manager until this season.
Until this season. So if you don't have much of this, much money, that's the hand signal I'm doing for those listening on the audio pod. If you don't have much of that, then that is the tactic you need to go. And I think I would do what they're doing as well. Don't have money, I'm going to go to Serie C and dig around, see what I can find. They get some of the best performers from there and then just continually build and build and build. But if I'm at that point now, 8-9 years in, you'd have to have a dig by then and try and get make that playoff and then have a plan around that playoff and maybe try and just sell yourself, sell the project to these investors, get a bit of a boost, try and get a 32-year-old striker that knows how to put the ball in the back of the net, a Pietro Iemello, I'd go for him, and then I would get promoted. And this is not just me playing Football Manager at home. We'll leave it there, guys. Thanks for listening to us talking about Serie B, its competitiveness, and how great it actually is, one of the best second divisions in the world. Leave your thoughts in the comments, what you would do if you were taking on one of these clubs and how you would get them up to Serie A.